Blog Talk Radio.
Tune in to Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad therein. I hear the scripture saying, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Truly, we are on our way for another glorious, glorious day as we lifting up the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on today. Look, I have a wonderful lesson for you on today, and it is God in a manger. And I know you're going to be tremendously blessed. We've taken these lessons from the book of Luke, and we're going to look this time on today at Luke chapter 2, verses number 4 through verse number 16. And we're going to be talking about some of these wonderful things that centered around the birth of Jesus, such as the decree of Caesar, the journey to Bethlehem, the birth of Jesus, and then the angelic appearance of the shepherds. And so we're going to speak about that. And then Jesus was born exactly as was prophesied. And so come on in, grab your Bible, and make yourself right at home here with Helen R. in the Ministry of Empowerment. May God bless you. Let's take a look here at Luke chapter number 2. And it reads on this line, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, with great child, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped them in swaddling clothes and laid them in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of God shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angel was gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go unto Jerusalem, unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe laying in the manger." Let's take a look at our lesson on today. The amazing miracle in the human history is the incarnation of God. And the miracle baby born in a humble stable behind the inn in Bethlehem was the eternal God revealing himself in flesh. Although we know that nothing is impossible with God, it is incomprehensible how an infinite God could limit himself within the infinite form of mortal man. Now, although God created mankind in his image, by comparison, this new creation was limited and frail. However, by his own foreknowledge, God planned before creation for Jesus Christ to be born in the fashion of fallen mankind so that he might redeem man from sin. In other words, at creation, God fashioned mankind after the likeness of his planned, yet unborn, only begotten Son. Now, Jesus Christ became the pattern for the creation of all mankind. Now, let's take a look at Colossians chapter number 1, verses 14 through verse 17, and then also verse number 19. It reads on this line, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be throne or dominion, principalities or powers. All things were created by him, for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Now God, the eternal Spirit, infinite in power and glory, purposed before the world began that he would redeem fallen mankind by sacrificing himself. However, since God is an eternal Spirit and cannot die, he planned to robe himself in flesh that he might fulfill the requirement of sin, which is death. Before the Son of Man was conceived in the Virgin Mary, he existed in the mind, plan, and purpose of God. Now, let's take a look at the scripture at John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and verse 14 and verse 18. It states, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Now Jesus Christ shed his blood at Calvary as a sinless sacrifice to redeem fallen humanity because he was God manifested in the flesh. Only by being God did he have authority to redeem us from our sins. Jehovah is the only true God, Deuteronomy 4 and 6, Isaiah 46, 9 through 10. And because Jesus Christ was the Almighty in human flesh, his blood is able to cleanse us from all our sin. You'll see 1 John chapter number 1, verse 7, and Revelation 1, verses 8 through 11. If the scripture said, take heed, therefore, unto yourself and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers to feed the church of God, which have purchased it with his own blood, Acts 2, verse 28. Now, indeed, if Jesus Christ was not Jehovah of the Old Testament, he could not save us because Jehovah alone is our Savior. Now, God declared through the prophet Isaiah, and there is no God else beside me, just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, and all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. You'll see that over in Isaiah 45, verses 21 through verse 22. Now, when we look at the birth of Jesus, the decree of Caesar, the weight of the historical archaeology and astrological evidence support the time of Jesus' birth to have occurred during the second term of Cyrenius, the governorship between 4 and 1 BC. Now, the writing of noted historian astrologer Sir Robert Anderson supports this timing. Jesus' birth coincides with the reign of Herod the Great, who, according to the Jewish historian Josephus, died just before the Passover during an eclipse of the moon. A complete lunar eclipse actually occurred on January 9, 1 BC. Now, it was at this time that Caesar Augustus ordered all the subjects of Rome to return to their hometown to be taxed. Although this decree was given upon the authority of Caesar, God was really the real authority behind this historic event. All of the activities and interventions of mankind, although not predetermined, work together to fulfill the purpose of God. No matter what individual choose to do, ultimately God's plan in all things will prevail. God used the taxation of the Roman government to fulfill his will in bringing Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. although Caesar was unaware of the prophecy in Micah 5 and 2 that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, he was an instrument in God's hand to bring about this. Now, since Joseph and Mary lived in Nazareth of Galilee, they had to journey southward to Bethlehem, Judea, in order to comply with Caesar's decree. Thus, the son of David, God manifested in the flesh, was born in Bethlehem, just as Micah had foretold. Let's look further. Joseph and Mary was probably disappointed that they were forced to make a trip to Bethlehem to pay taxes to the Roman government, especially since Mary soon would give birth. Now, the road from Nazareth to Bethlehem traversed the rugged hill and the mountains of Judean highland over a course of approximately 75 miles. Many dangers were from robbers, highwaymen, and wild beasts lay between Nazareth and Bethlehem. In Mary's delicate condition, perhaps Joseph took special precaution to ensure a safe journey, since many others would also have been traveling to Bethlehem to pay tribute to Rome. He may even chosen to travel in a caravan for protection. Nevertheless, when they arrived in the city of David, weary from their travel, they surely were overwhelmed to see the multitude clamoring in the streets of the city, searching for the palaces and places to lodge. Let's look further. The birth of Christ. Now, the Almighty made his incarnation entrance into the world in a tiny form of Mary's baby. Since there was no room in the inn, the Christ child was born in a lowly stable among the cattle and the sheep. The King of Glory was thus born, made in the similitude of Abraham's seed, that he might become the Savior of the world. The Sovereign God, the Great I Am, robed himself in the obscurity of common flesh, born to a virgin espoused to a lowly carpenter. Mary wrapped the Lord of glory in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, tiny little Bethlehem, though the least of the city of Judah, and was exalted as the birthplace of the only begotten Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. Just as Jesus was born in humility, we too are born in the kingdom of God by humbly yielding our will to the will of the Holy Spirit. He that will be greatest in the kingdom of God must become the servant of all. And we'll find that over in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. It said, let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, that's profound. Now, we read that, and then we sometimes even just walk over that. But when we stop and we look at that and read it again and begin to gain a better understanding of what he is saying, he humbled himself, and he came obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so look here, our Lord and Savior, he became obedient unto death and unto the death of the cross. And when you stop and begin to think about that, that God, who was Jesus, manifested in Jesus, became obedient unto death and humbled himself. Even it more so, even for us as the children of God, we must sometimes become obedient to the ways and the wills of God, even when sometimes we have to die out to our own will, die out to our own ways, and that death don't feel comfortable. But the more we walk away from self and walk towards God and embracing the things of God, God is being more greatly manifested in and through our lives as never before. And so, and that does not feel good, but as we progress forward, God is going to meet us and bless us in a mighty and a special way. Now, let's take a look further. at some of the events that took place after the birth of Jesus. An angelic appearance to the shepherds, as Mary was giving birth to the Son of God, shepherd was keeping watch over their flocks by night just outside of Bethlehem. Suddenly, the cry of the infant baby Jesus from within the lowly stable broke the stillness of the night. The shepherd, unaware of what was happening in Bethlehem, was startled with fear by the glorious appearance of the angel of the Lord. The invisible God caused his glory to shine around the shepherd to announce the birth of his only begotten Son. Although God became flesh, he did not cease to manifest his glory as omniscient spirit who inhabited the universe. His incarnation did not limit him in time, substance, location, wisdom, or power. He never ceased to be God. The angel of the Lord said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Luke 2:10-12. While the shepherd was beholding the glory of God in the face of the angels of the Lord, there appeared a multitude of angels in heaven praising God. This heavenly chorus sang unto the Lord, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." You'll find that over in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 14. Now let's look further. Full of faith, respond of the shepherd. Now, as the light of God's glory faded into the night, the shepherd made haste to see that the things that God had declared unto them. Hearing the voice of God caused them to believe the things that the angel of the Lord had told them. Let's look at Luke 2, verses 15 through 16. "And it came to pass, as the angel was gone away from them in heaven, the shepherds said one to another, 'Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which he hath made known unto us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe laying in the manger." Now, entering into the stable, they beheld the glory of God in the infant Jesus and found all things just as God had said. Having seen themselves the things that the Lord had told them, they began to witness to the world that the Savior had been born in Bethlehem, Christ the Lord. Nothing adds impact to a testimony like a personal experience, because the shepherd had witnessed for themselves the things that the angel of the Lord proclaimed. Their testimony was powerful witness to what God had done. A person should never underestimate the power of a personal testimony. Let's look at another aspect, what the faith of the shepherd produced. Now, the shepherd was bold and persuasive because of what they had seen and heard. All those who had heard them was amazed and wondering greatly at their testimony. Mary, the mother of Jesus, pondered in her heart the things that the shepherd saw and heard. Jesus, the Jews of Jesus' days, however, should have known the birth of the Messiah was near because of Daniel's prophecy regarding him being cut off in death after 69 weeks of years, which is 483 years. Now, when Jesus was born, approximately 450 years had already expiring, giving of the decree to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem in 445 B.C., which was 360 days equal a biblical year. For the most part, however, they were unprepared for the arrival of the Messiah as their shepherd and their savior and as their God, saving Lucifer in Jesus' name. Now let's look further at the joyous return of the shepherds. Now, having spread abroad their account of the mysterious birth of the Messiah in Bethlehem, the shepherd returned from their journey to the city of David, being full of faith and expectation. An expectation of the things that would shortly transpire, they returned full of joy and thanksgiving. They glorified and they praised the God of heaven who has been so gracious to reveal himself unto them. Now, giving testimony and praise unto God, the Lord, and fill their hearts of God's witness with great joy. Now, the child of God should never lose their excitement for bringing souls to God and seeking their transformed by the power of God's Spirit. What rejoicing God people experience over one sinner who repents and things. Now let's look at another scripture, which is found over in Luke chapter 15, verses number 7. And it reads on this line, I say unto you that likewise joy should be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just souls which have no repentance. And you'll find that over in Luke chapter number 15 and verse number 7. Now let's look further at the incarnation and how it was defined. Since God is an invisible spirit, he could not die for the sins of humanity without becoming flesh. Thus, the Holy Spirit overshadowed the Virgin Mary and caused her to conceive a child. This child was filled with all the fullness of God's power, all of his wisdom, and all of his essence. Yet, at the same time, he was the seed of a woman. And you can see that over in Genesis 3 and verse number 15. Let's look further at the scripture. He was truly God in the flesh. Isaiah declared, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 74:14. And the name Emmanuel literally means God with us. When the foretelling the terrible destruction to come upon Israel by the king of Syria, Isaiah referred to God's heritage of the promised land as the land of Emmanuel. And you can see that over in Isaiah chapter number 8 and verse number 8. Now further, Jesus was more than just a man. Although Mary carried him in her womb as a fleshly son of David, he was the incarnation of the God of Abraham, Jehovah Savior. He was the Word made flesh, the embodiment of all that is perfect, holy, and undefiled. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Colossians 2 and 9. In Christ Jesus was all the fullness of the supreme God, the very essence of God's nature and his being. Let us look further here. Jesus was God in the flesh, both humanity and deity. God came into the world in the flesh through the incarnation. In Jesus Christ, he took on the nature of Abraham. You see Hebrews 2:16. He did not come in the form of an angel or in the likeness of any other heavenly being, but he came in the human form. The eternal God became flesh and dwelt among us. The scripture over in Philippians chapter number 2, verses 6 through 8 read, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the death, even the death of the cross. Let us look further. The eternal spirit that spoke the world into existence manifests himself in an earthly body of flesh. Paul declared to the Corinthians, to wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5 and 19. He came in the flesh that he might reconcile mankind unto himself by Christ's atoning death on the cross. Paul penned the powerful word to Timothy, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and the Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 5. Oh, what a grand and marvelous wonder! The God of glory, Jehovah, the great I Am, came in the flesh to reveal his love, his mercy, his grace to all who would believe upon him through his only begotten Son. Now, we'll find that over in 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angel, preached unto the Gentile, beloved, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Let's look further at Jesus was born of a virgin. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was the virgin espoused to Joseph of the house of David. Before they became together as husband and wife, she conceived the child by the Holy Ghost. And you can see that in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 and verse 25, Luke chapter 1, verses 27 to 31. Joseph, being a godly man, desired to divorce her privately as provided for the days in the law of Moses, so as not to reproach her. However, the angel of the Lord visited him in a dream, and the angel told him not to fear in taking Mary as his wife, because she had conceived this child by the Holy Ghost. Now, Isaiah the prophet declared that the virgin would conceive and bear a child, and his name would be Emmanuel, which is God with us, Isaiah 7:14. Mary remained a virgin until after the birth of Jesus, for the scripture said, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. And you'll find that over in Matthew chapter 1, verse 24 through verse 25. Now, although there remain skeptics who doubt the authenticity of the virgin birth, Isaiah prophesied, prophecy pointed towards a miraculous event in the birth of the Messiah. Jesus said, the Lord himself shall give you a sign, both the virgin shall conceive, Isaiah 7:14. The word, Hebrew word for a sign in this passage is off, which means an evidence, a token, a miracle to confirm an oath. Had Mary had not been a virgin, there would have been no compelling sign or evidence to confirm the prophecy of God's word. Therefore, God performed a miracle through her divine conception. Let us look further and think. Jesus was born exactly as how it was prophesied. Jesus was born as the word made flesh, made of a woman, made under the law. And you'll see John chapter 1, verses 14. The law and the prophets prophesied of the coming, his coming, and all of the provision of the law pointed to the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. Now, the law was not given unto men that they might learn righteousness of God, which is now made manifest through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus did not destroy the law, but fulfilled it by becoming the sacrificial, supreme sacrifice for our sin. Now, the Old Testament testify of Christ that he would bring salvation to the world. You'll find John 5, verses 39 and verse 46 to 47 in this state. Search the scripture, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. For have ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for ye wrote of me. But if you believe on his writing, how shall ye believe my words? Moreover, Jesus declared unto his disciple after his resurrection, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the laws of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Now, let us look at Jesus was the invisible image of the invisible God. Jesus was the visible image of the invisible God. Let us look further. God is an invisible spirit who has manifested himself in various forms at various times in history, such as the angel of the Lord, a burning bush, a pillar of cloud, a pillar of fire, a shining light, smoke that filled the tabernacle of the Lord. And all these temporal manifestations of God came short of revealing the exact visible image of his essence and glory. This is the was reserved for those who should behold the Son of God, the pattern by which God created mankind. And you'll find that over in Hebrews chapter 1 and verses number 3. Now, the Son of Man existed in the beginning only in the plan and mind of God, and through the birth of Christ, through Jesus, God fulfilled that plan. And moreover, Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. Through him, we behold the invisible God. The Godhead, or the essence of the true God, dwells within Christ. And Jesus is not the Godhead, but the Godhead is in him. He is not only among various other God or one-third of God. He is the Almighty and the everlasting God, Father, robed in flesh, Isaiah 9 and 6. Consequently, he has all power in heaven and earth, just as he said he would. And there's no other God but Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. My, what a profound word of the Lord. And we must recognize that Jesus was God that was in the manger. And we must recognize that he is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Now, this birth of Jesus brought a great God of eternal into the world in the form of human, experienced both life and death to condemn mankind. God, who is infinite in power and glory without limitation, through the glory incarnation, entered into the world as a tiny, powerless infant to become the supreme sacrifice for our sin. And so, child of God, I want you to recognize that God, he did it for us. He took on the form of flesh, walked upon the face of the earth, and went all the way to Calvary and died for our sins and our iniquity. And so I pray that this short lesson was a tremendous impact and blessing for your spirit as you will begin to comprehend all that God had did for us over 2,000 years ago. Now, child of God, I pray that your life will be impacted and blessed in and through and by the wonderful power of God, because truly he is our great I Am, and he is our great and wonderful Savior who was born over 2,000 years ago. The scripture said, God, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We must recognize God was present in the world both before and after the birth of Jesus as the Holy Spirit. He did not cease to be infinite and powerful, even though through Jesus Christ, he became flesh and blood, but he entered into a new dimension in Jesus Christ for the redemption of mankind. And today, God continues to do and be the same mighty saving, sovereign God that he has always been. He continues to empower his church, the body of Christ, to bring healing and deliverance and salvation to all who will believe upon this name. Because the Spirit of Jesus Christ lives within us, we are more than a conqueror, that we might do the work that he did, and even greater works shall we do. Oh, child of God, he is doing some mighty and wonderful works in and through our life. The final thing I wanted to share with you is the incarnation and the fulfilled prophecy. Now, the Old Testament predicted the events that transpired in the life of Jesus Christ. From the beginning, it was prophesied that the devil, represented by the serpent, would bruise the heel of the Messiah. But in turn, the Messiah would bruise or crush the head of the devil. Thus, Jesus' death on the cross facilitated the ultimate defeat of Satan. You can see Genesis 3:15, Galatians 4:4. Even in the lineage of Jesus Christ was prophesied by the Old Testament writer Shem in Genesis 9, verse 26, Luke 3 and 36, Abraham. You'll find that in Genesis 12 and 3, Matthew 1 and 1, Isaac. You'll find that over in Genesis 17, verse 19. In the New Testament, you'll find it in Luke 3, verse 34, Jacob. You'll find it over in Genesis chapter 28, verse number 10 through 15. In the New Testament, you'll find it over in Matthew chapter 1, verse 2. Judah, you'll find that in Genesis 49, verse 10, and Matthew chapter number 1, verse 2. David, you'll find that over in Isaiah 9 and 7, and you'll find it also in the New Testament, Luke chapter 1, verse 37. So precise were the biblical prophecy regarding the Messiah that even the manner of his incarnation, his virgin birth, sees Isaiah 7 and 14 in the place of his birth, Bethlehem. You'll see it, Micah 5 and 2, were recorded hundreds of years before his even birth. And so, child of God, I just come to you to want to just to share with you that when Mary brought forth her firstborn and laid him in the manger, she and the world probably did not know then, but soon later discovered that this was Jehovah God in the manger. And so, child of God, the scripture said that she had brought forth her firstborn, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in the manger. And there was no room for them in the inn. Oh, child of God, help us. Why don't we continue to celebrate that great and matchless and wonderful Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and for all the wonderful things he did for us on the cross of Calvary, and as well as his death, burial, and his resurrection. Let us forever and forever continue to worship and reverence our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as never before. I want you to know I am so glad that you joined us on today. I pray that you've been blessed by this lesson. And sometimes it's just good to call to remembrance of what our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, has done for us over 2,000 years ago. I pray that you've been blessed on today. I pray that this lesson has blessed you in a mighty and a special way as you continue forever do the blessed work and the will of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich and add no sorrow. And as I always say in my closing, if you don't have it, God got it. And you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you, according to Matthew 7 and 7. May the blessings of God be with you. It's my prayer. Bye-bye.